This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now, I spent a long time in Parliament, as you know, Mohammed, and in much of it, the air was full of fear of the radicalization, as they always put it, of Muslims, of Muslim youth. They feared that the Iraq war, the Afghan war, the aftermath of both would sharply uptick the level of radicalization and the danger of young Muslims being lured onto the rocks of separatism and violence. They had multi-million pound programs, Prevent and so on, which weren't very successful, but you knew at least why they were doing these things. They had a legitimate fear of radicalization. I used to say, you know, a Muslim watching on television what's happening in Iraq, what's happening in Afghanistan, is likely to feel pretty radical. There's no need for a cleric to wind them up. There's no need for a pamphlet to tool them. They have their eyes, they can see what's happening to their co-religionists. So how radical are Muslims around the world feeling right now watching what's happening in Gaza?
It's a really good question. And I think what's really interesting is that, you know, Osama bin Laden himself and members of Al-Qaeda and, you know, all the associated kind of groups, they would use these kinds of atrocities happening, especially in Palestine, as the key way of recruiting other people. I mean, the fatwas that Osama bin Laden put forward, you will see, and that's the reason why it went viral some weeks ago. In fact, people were reading the fatwas because a big chunk of it was actually dedicated to the Palestine issue. Now, in terms of what these particular groups actually espouse, what they espouse is that if they kill our civilians, this is effectively a pragmatic kind of consequentialist reasoning. Now, they think that this consequentialism, this Sharia consequentialism, is acceptable from an Islamic perspective, which it isn't, because there's been a consensus for 1,400 years on the matter. And we can quote the classical sources, Ibn Abdul Barr and others from the 13th century, that said there's a consensus on not killing the civilians. But they would use a kind of consequentialist reasoning by saying that actually they're killing our civilians, and so therefore we can kill their civilians. And they will quote verses from the Quran, effectively alluding to the fact that it's a knife for an eye. فَإِذَا عُقِبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا مِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you're going to receive consequence, so impose consequence the way in which you receive the consequence. So they generalize the principle and they say, in fact, what that means is if they kill our civilians, we can kill their civilians. And so they use an emotional kind of argumentation and a pragmatic kind of consequentialist reasoning in order to get new recruits. Now, this is a concern. It's a real problem because it flies in the face of Sharia law. It's not normative in any way, shape or form. But because of the compelling nature of the emotional aspect of this, when a young man who's not acquainted with the minutiae of jurisprudential legalities in Islamic law is presented with a picture of some kid being blown up and then being told actually there is some Islamic justification, it does actually give fuel, or adds fuel to the fire of Islamic takfirism, I would call it. And these groups become more relevant. So in other words, there is a threat here that the Muslim population and the Western populations have to be wary of. And it is a threat that some young men are going to be looking at these things and thinking, well, they're killing our civilians, maybe we have to go and kill theirs, which is a misnomer in Islamic jurisprudence. But why do we want that environment to be acceptable, or to be creating a facilitation for that kind of environment again? And this is something that the Western governments and powers have to look at, because we don't want to see young Muslim people in this country or anywhere else being radicalized to that effect.
Quite so. And of course, what's true in Britain will, in terms of quantum, be more true in France. There are nearly 10 million Muslims in France. In Belgium, Germany, in North America even. It is just another factor that we have to put into this equation. We are losing any respect that we had in Muslim countries. I mean, who, if you run this poll that I'm running tonight in Muslim countries, I mean, the result would be laughable. We're losing respect and friends. We've lost all the very good friends we used to have in the Gulf, in Saudi Arabia, and so on. And we're also placing our own societies in danger, all to support Netanyahu, who is opposed to the outcome that we claim that we support, namely the two-state solution. Make sense of that for me, Mohammed.
Absolutely. And I think the Americans know that full well, which is why we're seeing a change in parlance. What, if I had to guess, I would think that the conversation, to put it in simplistic terms, between the Americans and the Israelis at this point is, listen, we're going to give you this amount of time, get the job done, because if you can't get the job done in this amount of time, the status quo cannot remain as it is. It will unstabilize the region. And for the Americans, I do really think that their interests are slightly different, or at least to a large extent, completely different to the Zionist interests, in so much as that they have a region they want to protect. They have trade going through the region. I mean, Yemen, which is the Houthi-controlled Yemen, you have boats going over carrying trade, which can easily be pirated and stopped, and these kind of things. Massive disruption can take place if Hezbollah gets involved, if some escalation takes place. Then they can start destroying desalinization plants, places, and other things in Israel itself. They can start destroying the natural gas reserves there. There can be things that take place if there's an escalation, which will ruin the economy in that area, which will have a trickle-down effect in Europe. And the Americans know that. It's not just a political and geopolitical issue. It's an economic issue. And they don't want to see this region being destabilized, because they have plans for that region. And so I do think that there is a discussion that the Americans are having with the Israelis that, listen, this is you've got to do this quickly, because public opinion is also against us, and Biden's got his campaign that he needs to do, and if you look at the polls that have been done on this issue, you'll find that this is not as much a right-left issue as it is a young-old issue, that the ages 18 to 35, yeah, the ones who are exposed to the social media, or have access to social media and seeing all these people being killed, which are a key demographic for the Democrats, they will less likely, especially definitely the Muslim community in America, but certainly other communities as well, to vote for the Democrats ever again if this continues. So there are so many things which make this not worthwhile for the Americans, which I'm sure are being put into consideration by them. And so that's why you're seeing a change in parlance with some of Biden's words. And I think that that's the best way to predict what's going to happen in the future. Look at what's in the interest of the Americans. And in this case, we know in the interest of the Americans to stabilize the region for trade purposes, for geopolitical purposes, so that they can have for them, they can have the colonial outpost, which is Israel in the region, being protected, because they want to see the protection of Israel as well. Of course, that's something Israel wants as well. It's a joint objective. However, this is becoming too much now. And I think in about a month or 2 months' time, we're going to see some serious developments.
Could be a lot of dead people between now and then. As always, Mohammed Hijab, you're a star player. Thanks for coming on the mother of all talk shows.